Welcome to the special episode of the Mind Athlete Podcast. This time we have something truly unique, a dedicated episode for the incredible fans of Oleg Zernikel in the Philippines. We've collected your questions and Oleg is here to answer them all, from his journey as a two-time Olympian to his training routines and even his plans to visit the Philippines. This episode is packed with everything you've been asking for. It's our way to say thank you to the amazing community supporting Oleg from across the globe. Let's get started. Welcome, Oleg.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for your time. And this episode of the Mind Athlete Podcast is a very special one because I noticed that you have a lot of fans in the Philippines.
Right.
I mean, you're a famous German pole vaulter here in Germany and in Europe, but how did you become so well known in the Philippines?
That's a really good question. And I don't really know. It was since my Olympic finals in Tokyo back then in 2021. It was kind of crazy. I had about 3,000 or 4,000 followers on Instagram. And afterwards, like after the finals, I noticed on my phone there were like 12K, 13K followers. I was like, wow, what the fuck happened? What's going on? And afterwards, like as I was checking all my messages and reposts, story posts, and so on, then I noticed that one newspaper from the Philippines, what was the name? Philstar.com, I don't know. They posted like, it was 10 hottest pole vaulters in the Olympics or something like this. I don't remember. Something like this. I was one of the 10 in this list, besides Mondo, I think Manolo. Who was else? Ersu Sasla, I guess. Also in the list, I don't quite remember. And that might cause this explosion in my followers. So it was reposted a lot. And this Philstar account is a huge account on Instagram, I guess. So that's how it escalated. So now over the years, it was kind of holding still. And now back again at Paris. After Paris, it went up again to 30K. And mostly people from the Philippines, Malaysia, or who else? There are people from all over the world, some people from the USA, from Australia, but the funny thing is that these people are originally also from the Philippines. So I don't know, it's very funny.
Before this episode, you sent a message to your followers that we are going to record an episode, and you asked them, do you have some questions for the special episode? And
right.
After, I would say, an hour, you sent me a screenshot with, I don't know, like 100 questions from your followers from the Philippines. And I was like, oh my God, what's going on? So in this episode, it's not possible to answer all the questions, but
yeah,
I took the most frequently asked questions. The first question is, how did you start pole vaulting?
Yes, that was one of the most asked questions. I remember it. So guys, how did I start with pole vaulting? So the journey was quite long, I would say. So I started like with athletics generally. I was younger. 10 years old maybe, I don't remember. So I moved to Germany and then I kept on going with training. And then my coach back then, she was like, a mother of a pole vault girl. And as I was in the training facility, they were jumping and I was just like running around and doing my stuff. So, and once she told me, come on here. And it was like this, look at them. You see, these are pole vaulters. So they earn a lot of money and they have a good body. Then it's nice. So do you want to try? And I was like, yeah, okay, why not? Maybe. Okay, let's do this. I mean, it's like kind of a little bit of a joke of a story, but let me say it like this. I had no problems with, how do you describe this? Oh my God. To fulfill some elements of running or like exercises. It was easy to me to do something that my coach is asking for. So like higher knees or right arm, do it like this. And I was like learning fast. And that's why she might ask me this question. So why don't you try? You seem to be talented, so try pole vaulting. It might be something for you. And yeah, now 16 years later, I'm sitting here. I've been two times Olympian now, and yeah, funny story so far, I guess.
But what other sports have you done, maybe before pole vaulting?
Oh, there has been a lot, actually. So, I mean, as a small child, you tried everything. You know, I played some football, I did karate. I mean, yeah, you of course, you played volleyball, you played basketball, some sort of stuff, but it was just all for fun, you know. When I was 12, 13, 14, I was skateboarding a lot, and that was like my priority number one back in these days. I was skating and also doing pole vault this time already, and it was fun to me, but I noticed like from time to time that it's getting harder, like to go to school every day, go to train every day, and then to skate, try to skate. It was colliding with all the energy that I had left. It slowly decreased my time with skating, so I had to forget it. And, you know, the injury probability is higher, of course. We were skateboarding, so I would say, like about when I was 15 years, maybe I had to forget this type of sports. But I'm still going from time to time, maybe once a year to the skate park. Still can do some tricks. Never I would think about this that I still can do this, but yeah, the muscle memory is still alive, and I liked it. I mean, I'm getting 30 next year, and yeah, it's kind of childish, I would say, but it makes fun. So I still like to do it.
What's your favorite trick on a skateboard?
My favorite one. So the hardest one I tried, and that I always felt like, yes, this is awesome. This was awesome. It was you're riding backwards. It's like on the bank. Yeah. It's like on the bank, you're riding backwards, and it's fakey for 60 flip and back down. So the board makes this flip, and then one kick flip. So it's 360 flip. Yeah. And it was the hardest one back then. It was amazing to do this split the first time. And that's always the challenge. Every time, once a year, if I go to the skate park, this is the trick I have to do. I have to stand. So like last year, I did it, and it happened. It happened. I tried it, and after a couple of times, I got it, and it was awesome. The feeling was good.
Wow. Well, the only trick I'm able to do on a skateboard is an ollie.
Well, is it?
That's all.
Yeah, it's also good, but the first ollie is also awesome. The first kickflip was a good feeling also. I liked it a lot.
I would say skateboarding and pole vaulting are kind of sports that are also a little bit of maybe scary or dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
What's your opinion on this?
True, of course, yeah. I would say, like, for myself, I would say that pole vault is scarier because it's a hard one, actually, the hard question. For myself, there are many, many things that have to be perfectly on the time, on the spot for pole vault. But it's not true, of course. It's like in your head. I mean, for skateboarding, like to jump from the stairs, maybe, it's also scary. Yeah, but you don't have only three times you can do this, and then you fail. So you can do this all over again. Not in the competition, of course. If you do a skateboard competition, then you have always only one try, I would say. Yeah, but it's all. You mean it's 5 meters above the ground, and skateboard is like, okay, it's right beneath your body, so it's maybe sort of scary if you misplace your foot and then crash. So that's why I would say that pole vault is always scarier, I guess.
But what is your ultimate goal in your pole vaulting career?
Oh my god, yeah, it's obvious. I would like to have a huge achievement, like in receiving a medal at the World Championships or Olympics. So I'm happy that I got a bronze medal now in the European Championships this year. It was amazing. I wasn't prepared for this, but this made me really happy, and this gave me some energy for the future, of course. Now, you know, I'm getting older, right? I'm 29, okay? But it's not like you are 21 and like, oh, I have more 10 more years and 15 more years I can do the sports. You're starting to realize, okay, there's not much time left. So the next Olympics, I'm going to be 33 years old. So, and this is the time where, okay, it's the last Olympics for you. So it's the last try, maybe, who knows? And then you start thinking differently about all your career, and you look more maybe in the past than in the future, try to combine things, and you realize you want something more. You want to say that this is what all these years are for this medal. It doesn't matter for me, gold, bronze, or silver, whatever. It's just like any medal would be fine for me. And at the World Championship, and also the Olympics. And I would say Olympics would be, the best day of my life then, if I could get one, of course, yeah.
But when you're in a situation of an Olympic final in LA 28, and I mean, there's a lot of pressure. How do you handle pressure during such crucial moments?
This is what I call experience so far, because, you know, I've been on the huge competitions since 2011, because 2011 was my first world championship under 80 years old. I was 16 back then, and I got fourth place in the final. And since then, I had, over the years, many European championships and national championships, and under 20 world championship where I got also bronze back then. So it kind of get to a level where this feels normal for you. Like, I noticed also this time in Paris, of course, you're for a certain level, you're nervous, but it's not like, oh my God, in a big stadium, there are 80,000 people, there's a camera, I don't know what to do. It's like, oh, I have a stick. I know what to do. I have to run, I have to jump. And this is the development, I would say,
okay,
for all these 16 years. You're just concentrated to do your jump, like you did it all the time before. There's nothing different. And if the wind is fine, if your body feels good, and the mind, of course, then, okay, just jump. Get the stuff together and do it. And then it should be easy. So it's not like don't want to see this as complicated as it was back in the years, because I was a really complicated thinker all the time, you know, and this always put me down too much in my sport. And now I try to think more freely and just to have fun, just to take the pole and then take a jump and then be happy afterwards, and not to think about all the details. And then I think it's been a huge bubble is in my head, and it's too much. So, yeah, what was the question?
So how do you handle pressure during crucial moments? But it sounds like now you have a lot of experience.
Yeah, I could go more in the detail. I mean, in the final at the Paris, I was very nervous, of course. And between the jumps, you try to calm down a little bit, to look somewhere else. Because every time if you look who else is jumping and if it's over or not, then you get like, oh my God, oh, it's not over. Oh, he's over. Oh, fuck. Okay, then I have to jump higher now. So then that's, yeah, I try to focus on myself, just stare down, drink a little bit, eat a banana or something, and then keep on track with jumping. And when it's my next time, maybe to do some math, maybe gripping higher, see, I don't know, filling in myself what I can do better now or something like that. And then this worked for me so far. So that's the tactic I will still use for the future, because I mean, there has something to be why I always made it to the final. It may sound crazy, but all these years in every big competition, I always made it to the final. Only last year at the World Championship in Budapest, I didn't make it, but I still jumped 570, and it's 575. Was the standard, and this is what the only one time I didn't make it to the final. This is crazy for me. Like, wow.
Absolutely.
How can this happen? Yeah. Right.
But on the other side, is there ever a time when it was so hard that you thought about giving up?
Yeah, many times. Too many times. One crucial time I'm not quite sure. It was 2015 or 16, I guess, one of these years. I think it was 2016 where I couldn't take off. I couldn't jump anymore from any approach. Two steps, four steps, nothing was working. And of course, if you come get every day to training and grab the pole and it doesn't feel right, and for the whole year, then you're kind of like, okay, what I'm doing here? I don't have fun anymore. You think a lot about what's going inside your head at this moment. It was a heavy time. I cried from time to time in a hard situation. But if I had a conflict with my coach back then, but somehow managed just like to keep on going. I had two coaches, and the other coach said to me, just come to training, do whatever you want, but just come, be here, do long jump, do this, do that, it doesn't matter. And I think if he wouldn't say that back in the day, then I don't know what happened to me. Yeah. So I kept on going. And I fought back 2018, I guess. Yeah. It was a hard road also jump to, let me remember, 2015 I jumped 550. And then there was nothing. And then it took me 3 or 4 years, I don't remember, to come back at 550 again. So it's, wow, you think, oh my God, I needed 4 years to get just back where I stopped. Man, it wasn't, let me translate it, by the way. I said, right. I wasn't satisfied with this, of course, but I still kept on going, and I broke my arm in late 2018 or 2019, and then also kept on going. I don't know, it's just like your body needs some kind of movement after all these years. You just go to training, you just don't think about it. You just appear every day at a certain time, and you just go running, you just go training, you have fun or not, I don't know. Yeah, then came Corona, and before that I told myself, all right, this is it. If you can do it to the Olympics, then you'll continue. And if not, then you quit. And this thought, I hammered it in my head, because every time I was grabbing to my pole and I was standing at my, how do I describe this again? In my conflict area in my head, where it's like, okay, I don't know if I can take off anymore or anything bad will happen now. I feel insecure at the moment. And in these situations, I was thinking about this. I was like, okay, either you jump, you take a jump now, you take off, or you fell down, you break something. So it's like from 0 to 100. So, and something will happen. It might sound crazy, but this is how I was going in, it was 2020, where Corona happened. And remarkably, this is how I started to jump better in the training. My technique improved. I was easier. I was just like, okay, whatever will happen, I will jump. So, and then the outcome, either good or either bad, but the outcome was always good.
Yeah.
And got my technique better. I jumped pretty well. And then out of nothing. It wasn't out of nothing. I was training hard, of course, but I jumped 570. It's like, damn, all right. Okay, this only 10 centimeters for the qualification standard, 580 for me. So, yeah, then came Corona. In this time, Corona was developing already, and we had some competitions in the winter. I jumped 70, got qualified for the European Indoor Championships, and got also fourth place. Piotr Lisek, yeah, he pushed it from the third. Back then, I was mad at him, but it was 2020 was the Corona time. Yeah, sorry, I'm sorry. And this is where I was like, okay, what's going on? Am I still doing this or not? Because I told myself I'd do it till the Olympics if I got qualified and then out. So now they moved it back to 2021. So I was like, okay, so you have to keep going again, I guess. So that's how I developed the 570 in the winter and got qualified for the Olympics. So, and then, yeah, afterwards, the journey continued for me. Now, 3 years later again, it happened with Paris.
So it sounds a little bit also for me that you faced your fears in those times. And that was there maybe also another big challenge you face also as a person?
There might be some off, I would say. But I think I would say my most problem was that this is the truth, by the way, I will tell you that my decision to do pole vault wasn't like deep from the heart. So I just got there in the sport and just continued it because it went well. I had some fun, but I had never this wish like, oh my God, I want to be a pole vaulter at the Olympics in Rio or Tokyo or somewhere else. I just like slipped into the sport in the athletics because my father was one. He was a long and high jumper. And back in the days, as we are searching for me, what sports should I do? He told me, yeah, try athletics, for example. And before it was karate, because he also did karate back in the days. So who knows? Maybe, yeah, if I never moved to Germany, did karate or something else or any other sport. And so now I'm a pole vaulter and I got to Tokyo. I accepted this. Before it was indecisive. So what are you doing? If it's the right one, if it's not. And now I realized, okay, you can do this and you can do it better. So you're dumb. What are you doing? You're an idiot. So like, you know, it's working.
Until Tokyo, you think about that pole vaulting is maybe not the sport for you?
Kind of, yeah, sort of. It sounds crazy. Yeah, it wasn't because you have always a coach beside you. You come to training, you have to come, you have to train. And over the years, it develops like it's like a work. You have to come, you have to train. So it wasn't hard to say, no, I don't want to come anymore. I don't have fun anymore. It's just like, okay, I still come. If I still don't have fun now, but okay, I come to training. Yeah, this is a crazy situation. It's hard to understand, I would say, but yeah.
But what changed in Tokyo?
I wouldn't say not during the Olympics. I would say a couple of years before. It's like the time where I got more adult, I would say. I start to think more by myself. I start to chase my own dreams and to feel more in me, in myself, and to realize, okay, what do you want? What's the thing that you want to achieve? And I realized also that I can do this. You know, people come to me and tell me, hey, you have a great technique. You can jump 570, 80 easily if you just manage this between your eyes or behind your eyes. You know, then you think, oh, all right, yeah. Okay, maybe they are true. Maybe they are right. So, and then this is some of the trigger points that always had been in my head since then. And I was like, okay, maybe they are right, you know. Try this, do it. So, and for myself also, I wanted to achieve this. For one day, I was like, hey, I want this. I really, really want this. I mean, that didn't make sense if I, all the years before, they wouldn't do make sense if I will not be at the Olympics, you know. This is how I formulate my sentences back then. And yeah, I did it.
But it's very, very interesting. I didn't know about this. What would you say, what's the best piece of advice you ever received from somebody? Maybe also during those times.
Wow. Yeah, I think, like I said it before a couple of minutes ago, the best piece of advice is, might be, don't quit. You know, we live in a society now that wants things faster and now. Nobody is ready to wait to work for their dreams, to work hard months for months, many years, and then to achieve anything. Everybody was like, hey, I want this now. I don't get this. Okay, fine. Whatever. It doesn't matter anymore for me. I quit. So this advice I had from my coach back then, who just said, don't quit. Just come. You can do this. Just have fun. Fun was also a big aspect in the days back then. Don't forget to get fun. So it's a thin layer where you're working, you know, besides, okay, I do it professional but I have to still want to have fun also, you know, and yeah, it's, you have to find the middle between this stuff. You don't have to forget that hey, you're doing this because it's fun. It makes fun to jump high, to achieve anything. It's cool. And yeah, but you have to train every day also. Don't can go out with your friends for some days on the weekend because you have competition. All right. You have to accept that. Yeah. It's fun. And just take your time. Continue and take your time. This is what I would tell like the youngsters in our group also. Just keep on going. Keep on swimming. Keep on swimming. Right.
But Alec, we also received a lot of questions about your life outside of sports. One question that mentioned several times was, what do you like to do in your free time?
Okay. So my free time, if I have a lot of free time, then I do a lot of stuff. So, yeah, for once I love to play guitar. I love the sound of the guitar. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guitars. So now,
well,
right, different guitars, and one is coming, one is on the way. It's a bass guitar. I love to write music, to compose music, and I also have some progress on the computer to create some stuff. But I never did manage to fulfill this dream because of the time. It's like, yeah, I need some days, maybe weeks for this to write something, and maybe to sing. I try to sing sometimes. Sometimes I have also a microphone and I tried it. You know, maybe, you know, in the next couple of weeks, I will post a video. Stay tuned. A couple of years ago, I started to read books. I was never a good reader, but it was also one of these thoughts. But like, hey, come on, try to read and more. It is good for you, for your mind. I try to read one book a month. It doesn't matter which one. It's maybe science stuff, science fiction, anything. But it is like also one achievement I would like to keep on going, like to read a lot of books. Why not? I noticed that my fantasy is growing. You start to fantasize more in your head. The pictures are going more better after you read books. And this is fun.
Which book are you currently reading?
It's Origin from Dan Brown.
But what are your future plans after your athletic career?
As many doors open at the moment, and this is good. One of the doors that's open at the moment is the military. So like everyone noticed and knows now, since 21, I joined, I'm a part of the military, German military. And it's everybody can understand that you can, after the career, you can stay at the military and continue your career at the military. So it is awesome, really, and it helped me also a lot to develop me myself in the sports, in the pole world. And I'm happy to still be in the military and to keep on going, because it helps me, like I said, to face the next years, to face next World Championships, and hopefully Los Angeles also. As long as I stay with the military, I can perform, and I hope to jump higher than only size 80. So that's the first door opens. And the second door is that I'm studying. I'm studying environmental science, artwork, and and in combination with this, I'm working with Wasserdranol, like in Landau, and this is how to describe it as easy as I can. The company Wasserdranol is specialized of removing the microplastic out of the wastewater. I joined this team in winter 2023. I started little by little to work with them, to know how this company works and what are the aims, what they want to achieve, and how all this stuff works. And it was new for me, and this is also really interesting. Months go by and I got more stuff to do also. And the thing to say here is like, I'm allowed to decide the military to do this work. So it's like only part-time work. It's not much. It's 10 hours, about eight to 10 hours a week. So like I said, I'm studying. I can use my knowledge in this company. So for now, like my work was to collect water samples from the wastewater treatment at the end of the wastewater treatment and analyze it to in the laboratory at the microscope, and then it's like how to describe it. It's like one at the end is it's like one black filter, and if you put it in the microscope, then you can see how many microplastic particles are in there. So and there's every time I do this experiment, there's always microplastic in it. So and I've seen also, so like there are many people are working there and they're also doing their own stuff and experiments, and I've seen it worse. I've seen really, really much worse things at the laboratory, at their tables. And then you start to realize, you know, how much damage the humanity is causing at the moment with all this microplastic plastic problem. I mean, the cars, the tires producing, I think the lowest amount of microplastics in our environment. And the list is huge. It can continue endlessly, I would say. That's what I realized at this firm, but at this company. And I gained more interest in this. I gained really much interest in also in this stuff. And this is like the first door that's opening for me at the moment. So it's like, yeah, with the studying and I mean, environmental science just leads me to all this stuff in the future. Can, but for still, like my aim is to compete at sports. And do well there, and then by decide to study, and then at the end of the career, I can decide, okay, military, or maybe go somewhere else with my master's degree, hopefully. So yeah, and of course, like the last door, everybody has is to be a trainer at the end, maybe a personal trainer, something like this, because I told myself, you know, you have 16 years of experience of sports, that you have 16 years of training, and then you just forget it, and then you go away and do something else. It's kind of weird thinking also, you know, just yeah. But hopefully I can continue for more years with my career and achieve more things, and these questions are still on mind every maybe not, and maybe every week, and it's moving, but I can't tell for now in which way, in which direction.
So, and for everyone who doesn't know, the German military has a sports promotion group. So when you're a German athlete and you're competing on an international level, you are able to become a member of the sports promotion group. So I think not everybody on the Philippines or worldwide know about this. So yeah, I just want to mention this at this point. Your fans from the Philippines mentioned several times was, did you expect to become so famous?
No, I didn't. Really didn't expect to become such famous. And I like it, really. It is a really good feeling to have fans that cheering for you, that are following you. I couldn't imagine to experience anything like this 5 years back before Tokyo, maybe. And I from time to time I do answer back to some of the people. I read the chats, and I did also this giveaway, first you can giveaway. It was awesome. I had a lot of fun to pack the stuff and then send it to the people, and they achieved it. They got it in the Philippines. So I made a couple of stories back in the days on the Instagram, how people are unpacking this and are posting this. And I was amazed that this really came true, you know, that this had arrived at the Philippines. This is awesome. And this is also what makes me continuing doing the sports. So, and I have a wish I make this FAQs, make this podcast here, because of the guys in the Philippines, in Malaysia, because in English, so it's also fun, you know. And I would like to do this more, like I said, and then post more videos and make live streams. I have still this autograph cards live stream that I need to do because people want an autograph from me, and I have still to sign it and send it to the Philippines or from Australia and some other guys, whatever. And but the time is missing at the day for me for now. Yeah, sorry for that, but I hope that I can manage better in the next weeks. And it's not that easy. I hope it would have been easier. Is the right English? I don't know. Oh, whatever. But trust me, I don't forget all this stuff. I keep going. I want to do more, but I need some time. Yeah, but I like it.
Would you consider to visiting the Philippines?
This is one interesting question. I do. There was a conversation back in September because one Ernest Subiena, the Philippine pole vaulter, he wanted to do his own competition in the Philippines. And it was tense like some couple of weeks before, and people were mad at this, of course, I can understand. And they wanted to see me there. I had so many questions of my followers that were asking, hey, will you visit the Philippines, Manila, the competition? I was like, I don't know for now. So it's like late in the season and this and that. But the interest was there. And I think if the competition will happen again, I will fly there. I will visit there. I'm very curious what will happen then. If
I guess you will need a lot of time to sign autographs.
And I will take this time, really. I will do this.
So my last question is, what message would you like to give to your fans?
So first, I would like to say thank you to everybody who is following me and is still cheering for me since Tokyo Olympics. It means a lot to me. Thank you very much, guys. I, like I said before, I wish that I could show you more of my lifetime, what I'm doing, how I'm training. Yeah, the time is missing in my days for now. And I hope to visit Philippines. I hope to be there at a competition from EJ. And I want to meet everybody, to have a talk to you, to chat with you. It makes a lot of fun. So I hope that it will continue for now, for hopefully till Los Angeles, and hopefully afterwards. I don't know, but thank you for being here, for staying with me. It also helps me to continue with my sports, to keep me, it keeps me motivated in my days. Thank you very much.
I would say those were the perfect closing words for our episode. Oleg, thank you very much for your time, and I hope to see you soon again.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed our conversation and want to keep up with future episodes, please take a moment to subscribe MindAthlete on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Your rating and review help us to reach more track and field fans and bring you even more inspiring stories from the world of athletics. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.